Okay. Button engaged. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, and if you couldn't tell by the voices, I'm Ayaz.
Eric. And
Jonathan.
And together we are the guys who do a show that nobody listens to.
Yeah.
Not really even.
Hooray!
Yeah. Next year we hope to win an award for most hiatuses. Single show.
I'm aiming for 2013 to win the award for most improved.
I think. Well, I guess if we can string maybe 10 episodes together, we might be most improved. Yeah. At least for us.
Yeah, yeah. If we do, yeah, at least a dozen next year. That's definitely a huge improvement.
I don't know if we can handle that kind of pace.
It's true.
Might hurt ourselves.
It's the breakneck speed at once a month.
How was everybody's Christmas holiday or Sunday?
How was yours, Eric?
It was pretty good. I watched movies and played video games. That's pretty much what I did. I got invited to go to like two other people's crazy family's houses, and I decided against that. So,
cool.
How was yours?
Mine was good, except, well, mine was a little hectic because my wife's family is from Pennsylvania, and we live down in Georgia. So on Christmas Eve, we got on a plane and flew up to Pennsylvania, then drove to her brother's house, and he lives out in rural Pennsylvania. So we flew to Philadelphia. So by the night of Christmas Eve, we were at his house, which was fun. We had dinner and did unwrapped gifts. And then early the next morning, Christmas morning, we got back in the car, drove back to Philadelphia, flew back to Georgia, got in the car, drove up to my parents' house, who live in North Georgia, and spent Christmas Day with them and had Christmas dinner there. So it was a little hectic, running around a lot.
Sounds horrible.
Well, you know, I mean, the time with the families was great. So, I mean, that's the nice thing is we both get along with everyone in the various families. So
nice.
That helps a lot. If it were one of those situations where, and these were just the immediate families, we didn't visit with any of the extended families. Since we all got along well, that made it less of a hassle. I mean, the travel was no fun, right? That's just, it's rarely fun to actually get on a plane and go someplace. But but once we got that out of the way, it was pretty good. How about you, Ayaz?
I spent Sunday doing nothing. It's the first time in several years that I didn't have to travel to the in-laws. It was very nice. Peaceful and calm. Very strange. Well,
anyone get anything particularly interesting as a Christmas gift?
I got nothing. How about you?
Yeah, I got a knife sharpener and a scale. The scale I'm actually very excited about. It's the Y things, which is a horrible way to pronounce it.
The Wi-Fi scale?
Yeah.
Will you be tweeting your weight?
No. I'm starting a blog where I'm going to start reviewing random fitness gadgets in a attempt to make myself more healthy and write and play with gadgets. So if I can combine all of that.
So are you going to put a
that's
Fitbit,
pretty cool.
a Fitbit on your jawbone up while you tweet from your scale?
Actually, the Fitbit is on order, and the up I haven't decided on yet. Didn't they recall a bunch of those?
Well, if you act as soon as possible, you can buy an up and then put in for the refund.
Yeah.
But the refund thing ends in a couple of days.
Yeah, I wore a Body Media Fit for a while, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
Go ahead. They're significantly more expensive than the Fitbit, but
yeah.
That's the one that also it tracks your sleep patterns and
has a whole
online component.
Yeah, the Fitbit will do sleep as well. It comes with an armband to track your sleep pattern.
Oh, okay.
From what I've read, Fitbit's more active. You actually have to push the button when you're going to sleep.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That's a little bit of
Body Media one. You just wear it. I wore that one for pretty much as long as the trial period went, and I thought it was pretty. You know, it was pretty cool. I did kind of fall off using it, so. You know, it's this danger you have with any sort of diet or exercise routine is that, you know, you really have to stay on top of it. It's very easy to fall out of that habit if you don't, and that's exactly what happened. You know, there's no blame on the gadget. It's all on me.
Yeah. I mean, well, and I have already have a running partner, which will start on Sunday, the first day of the new year. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, man.
Wait, Sunday's the new year?
You know what?
Sunday is the new year, my friend.
that leads me to a point that I had an idea for a topic of discussion.
Oh, God, what is it?
It might be very short, because I'm just asking, what do you guys think of New Year's resolutions? Do you actually do them? Yeah. Do you just find them useless?
I totally had the same thought before we started recording. I was going to ask the same question. And I don't think I've ever actually made a New Year's resolution.
Now, I used to make them all the time, but in the past, I don't know, maybe 5-10 years, I decided, okay, I'm not going to make resolutions based on some arbitrary day. If I'm going to make a change, I'll do it like right now. So I've done weird things like on November 3rd or whatever. So I like the idea of a fresh start for the year, and I see why people see that as very attractive. But I like to just, if I have an idea to do something new, I try to execute as soon as possible instead of waiting.
Yeah, I'm putting it off can be dangerous. I mean, and that's kind of where I am right now, because I've been putting off the fitness stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much why January 1st is now like the day for that. But
yeah, I definitely see the appeal of doing a resolution, in the sense that, you know, the new year, psychologically, you have this idea of it's a fresh start and it's a clean slate sort of thing. Whereas, of course, just like you were pointing out, Ayaz, it is completely arbitrary. I mean, the only reason that we have January 1st at all is just because we one day ages ago decided that's what that would be. And that and then a different group of people decided that would be the beginning of the new year. But it is like, you know, you can't deny the fact that there is a psychological aspect to it that can really push people that extra little amount to get stuff done. So I've done them before. Like last year, I did make a resolution that I was going to lose some weight, and I actually did. And now I need to lose a little bit more. I haven't quite lost all the weight I want to lose, but the fact that it actually worked was nice. Although I can't really, you know, necessarily chalk that completely up to making a resolution. It's just that something that I stuck to.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were actually like resolute on it. If you're actually gonna like, the thing about these things, they have that great name, and it's really attractive, like, oh, it's a resolution, I'm gonna make a change, I'm gonna be different. But I mean, how many people follow through with those things? And I mean, by March, usually people check in, how is your New Year's resolution going, and most people just drop off.
I only made two last year. One was to lose weight, and the second was to try and get my buddy Ayaz a job with This Week in Tech.
Good job so
thanks
far.
It was amazing that I made that resolution, and then like a week and a half later, I recommended you for the job, and then, you know, then of course you did a little work on your side.
Yeah, well, not a whole lot. They just said, "Do you know Jonathan Strickland?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "You're hired." Yeah. And I said, "Cool."
Yeah. And if only I really had that power. We shouldn't really say that, because next thing you know, I'm going to get all these Twitter messages from people saying, "Hey, hook me up somehow."
Yes, Jonathan Strickland actually is HR at Twit. Very secret. People don't know about this. He's in charge of hiring people. He's in charge of all the sexual harassment suits that are going on.
Oh, no, don't say that either, because then everyone's going to write to me about that guy that Leo got rid of.
Oh, they're going to talk to you about when they fired me.
No, well, that's
I've been fired
not what
seven
I was
times
about.
Since. Every time I'm like, hey, Jonathan Strickland, I say those two magic words and I get back in. None of that is true, by the way, if anyone's wondering. If you're really still listening and you've listened to this podcast, Strickland, I think, had a small hand in me getting my job, but not.
No, he's not actually HR. If anything, I just confirmed Tom Merritt's belief in you. That's all. That's all I did. He was already thinking about you. He was a little hesitant, just because at the time I think you had you were fairly fresh at your other job.
Yep, I'm a deserter.
So, but you know, I said, you know, you were the first person I thought of, and he said that he had been thinking about that too. So really, it was again just confirmation on something he was already considering. So,
well, let's not turn this into a love fest about ourselves. Let's talk about other stuff then. Should we make resolutions right now for the 28th of December? I mean,
well, Eric's already got his deal, because he's talking about testing out various fitness gadgets and writing. I mean, that sounds to me like it's not truly a resolution in the sense that, you know, it's going to be like on New Year's Day he's going to save that. But I would say that that's a pretty significant one, and it's one that actually is quantifiable and measurable. So,
and that's what I like. That's actually why I like this like blog, the project for it, just because they're all gadgets that produce data. So it gives me something to actually write about, you know. Instead of saying, well, this is a pretty scale, I could actually, you know, test it and see what it actually does, how it influences my behavior, things like that.
Because I'm already currently in the fitness kick because of CES.
You've been on the fitness kick a while, haven't you?
Well, I slacked off in November. I got sick in the middle of it, and I got lazy. After I got better, I was lazy for like a week. So December, maybe like a week ago, I was like, I started doing like structured workouts again.
You know what? I think your resolution should be, Ayaz, you have to beat what is that Dragon Force song on Rock Band on Expert while running on the treadmill, because I've seen you do this before.
I would much rather have Rocksmith, that game. That's a game that actually uses a real guitar
to play
games, and I'm like, this is really interesting. But like every review I've seen of it, like these blogs just trash it, and they're like, it's for a very specific kind of person, a person who already plays guitar and wants to play a game. I'm like, well, that's just me.
You can use, I think Rock Band 3, you can use MIDI inputs. So you can plug a guitar into it, I believe.
That's an interesting idea. But I've been getting back to playing guitar too. A friend of mine, he did a cover of the TNT theme. And I was like, that's really cool. I forgot. And so I just grabbed my guitar and started playing again. I'm like, I really am rusty. But yeah. And like my fingers are cramping up, and I don't have calluses anymore on my fingertips. So I've got to rebuild. But yeah, I've been playing a lot more. So I forgot. I'm like, hey, I hung them up on the wall. I can use them now. And now I'm also finding out that the strings are really old and breaking. So I need to buy more strings.
Mm.
Small things.
Yeah. Well, I guess for me, it'll be learning to play the ukulele, since I've got one for Christmas. So I want to actually learn how to play it. So hopefully by the end of 2012, I'll have a modicum of proficiency at playing the ukulele.
Don't you play a little string instrument already, like a mandolin?
I've got a mandolin as well. I'm just learning. Actually, at this point on the mandolin, I think for me to start getting better, I'm going to need to look into getting lessons, because I've got the very basics down, but there's only so far you can go. Like I don't have enough innate talent to be like a self-taught player, and so I've gotten like the little basics down, but I'm not sure that the DVD or book route is going to be the most helpful for me.
You're not going to try the Magic Garage Band or some kind of app to try to teach yourself something?
I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a shot. That could be an interesting companion to what Eric's doing, instead of the fitness thing. Doing like, you know, here's this guy who really has no training in music whatsoever, learning how to play a musical instrument. Does it actually work if you
just
stick
the internet
with it?
Yeah.
I used to use...
Yeah, you know, that might be... That's not a bad idea.
I learned to play guitar with a CD-ROM back then. It was an eMedia e-guitar, I think that's what they called it, or something like that. And, you know, they taught you chords and how to read tablature. And there was a sheet music part, and that's the part I just kept skipping, because I don't care. I play by ear anyway. So
yeah,
it'd be a lot easier if I could read sheet music. I'll be honest about that. But sometimes, you know, when you're just learning, you just want to play something fun, and you can only play Drunken Sailor so often until you're like, okay, I got to learn something else. But it worked
like
pretty well.
The mandolin, the only two songs I can play really are Yankee Doodle and Oh Susanna. It's pretty pathetic.
Well, that's a start, though.
It is a start, but I mean, I want to get to a point where, ideally, where I can play music, like Irish music and Renaissance-style music, so that I can put it to use whenever I'm working at the festival.
Right.
It'd just be something fun to do, because, I've been doing the festival stuff for, I've done five or six seasons of it total. And I really enjoy doing it, but I also like to expand my repertoire a bit and not do the same thing year after year.
Always growing. Always trying something new. You're like a Renaissance man.
That's the idea. So yeah, the musical instruments are one of mine. I guess another one is to finally get this web series that I've been working on shot in 2012 and get that up and running. So
now where are you in the production of this?
I was set back quite a bit because of going through buying a new house. That dominated my life. And so that really took up a lot of the time that I wanted to dedicate to the web series. And so I'm definitely behind. It's going to be tight. If I can try and get it done before the festival starts, that'd be great. But the festival starts in April. So it's a really tight deadline to go from essentially nothing to a shot series. Now, granted, I don't mind doing the post-production stuff after April, but
how many days of filming do you think you're actually going to do?
Well, the episodes are really short, and several of them take place in one of two locations. So assuming that we can shoot all of the episodes that are for each location on a single day, we could probably get it done in 4 or 5 shooting days. So it's not a lot of shooting. It's just that the problem is that everyone's only available on weekends. So, you know, including myself. So, because, you know, there are a few of the people who are involved who are actually full-time actors who are doing this, and they might have more flexibility. But most of us have, you know, desk jobs of some sort, or at least a 9-to-5 job of some sort. So we don't have the, you know, ability to just drop everything and go and shoot for a day. So it's it'll also depend on the availability of the locations and all that kind of stuff. Once everything's up and running, then I'm hoping maybe 4 or 5 shoot days and then we're done. And that way most of the work just falls on my shoulders and my production team's shoulders.
Are you doing anything that will require a film permit?
No, because in Georgia, you don't need to worry about that.
In the whole state?
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, seriously. Georgia, you can, all right, if you're going to shoot on someone's private property, then you need to get their permission. Well, yeah. But otherwise you're pretty much okay. Because it's not like Los Angeles or New York, where if you are running around with a camera and a cop sees you, then you either need to be able to show a permit or run really fast.
Yeah, I still live in right by Nolita, and I was always seeing like stuff marked off for like this production. But anytime a cop would walk up, they'd always be asking anybody who set up a tripod anywhere, "Where's your permit? Where's your permit?" And I was like, "Wow, this is really bizarre. I guess you can get tickets for this."
Well, in California, it's a big deal. At least in Los Angeles, around Los Angeles County, there's actually a film I watched that spoofed that a little bit, where this one guerrilla camera crew is shooting special effects shots for a reel that's made just for a local access TV show. And they don't have a permit, and the cops start showing up, including a helicopter cop group, and they're all like, you know, looking down on them and chasing them through the various valleys around Los Angeles, and you know, it just becomes like this crazy car chase sequence, and it's all about the fact that they don't have a permit for shooting. But in Georgia, no problem.
So now that's the secret. If you're going to go film something and you don't want to have a permit, all you got to do is travel to Georgia. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, there was actually some controversy here not too long ago, because Georgia is one of those states that had some pretty nice tax incentives for film crews to come and shoot in the state. And there was talk for a while of cutting those out, like getting rid of those tax incentives, and it caused quite an uproar in the acting community here in Georgia, because everyone was pointing out that if you cut those incentives, then you lose all that money, because no one's going to come in to shoot if you don't have those incentives. They'll go somewhere else where they can get those deals, and those jobs, I mean, the jobs that we would lose would be pretty significant. Also, we'd have people working in the industry here in the state looking to move out of the state because they can't make a living here if none of the jobs come here.
So you still have to film everything. You're planning to get this out by when? You said you can't have it ready by May.
Well,
are
you
talking about this next year at the same time?
It's very possible. I'm not going to, I'm not going to sit there and say that it's all going to be shot by April. That's what I want to have happen, but it's going to take so much work to do. It's really going to have to. I mean, it's a long shot. I would love for it to work, and I'm going to try my best to get it to work, but I'm not going to, throw all my money behind that. I would not bet on it. It's a long shot.
Now, you have a lot of obstacles stopping you from setting this up in the timetable you want. Do you find that might give you, I guess, a lack of motivation to push through? Because I'm thinking, what I used to do is if I had no set deadline, I would have to somehow set up some kind of meeting with somebody would make me accountable for what I'm doing at certain times. Then I would be forced to work even through the crazy obstacles and things. Because I know when I've run into scheduling issues, I just let things slide and slide and slide. Because I'm like, it's not going to happen. I'm not to worry about it. But, then this project could die.
I'm kind of the same way. I actually have a person on my production staff who would take the role of being the taskmaster, but she kind of she got married, so that took up a lot of her time, getting married and the honeymoon and all that kind of stuff. And since then, I haven't been able to reconnect with her to make sure that she's still cool with being on the project, because she's the person who has that sort of mentality and that approach. She's also a really kick-ass stage manager here in the Atlanta theater scene, and is, she's the person who all the actors are afraid of because they don't want to see her give the look of death if they show up late, that kind of thing.
Right.
And as a director, I'd be the same way. She was like, oh crap, I don't have all my stuff together. And she's going to give me that look. So she's sort of the person I was depending on, not to put everything on her shoulders, because she's got her own life and all that stuff going on. But that was kind of who I was counting on for that side of it to keep me on task. So I'll have to check again and see if she's still available. And if she's not, then I'll have to find someone else, because it can't be me. I mean, I'm the same way I is. If I don't have a firm deadline that's outside of my own psyche, then it just keeps slipping.
I wonder if that should be a job for life coaches or a task manager or task master, I guess.
Project manager.
Yeah, I guess like these.
I think they have those.
They do?
I've heard of it.
It just seems like – it just sounds like an online opportunity.
Yeah, the only
just
problem is that
– to motivate you constantly?
Not to motivate you, just to basically bust your butt when you're not working anymore.
Yeah, but I can't afford to pay anyone to do that for me.
I'm sure there's a bunch of people who are just control freaks that'd love to do it for free. BustJonathanStrickland.com. Where they can send you an email and harass you, or send you a YouTube video where they're screaming at you. Although that's like the internet already.
They're all going to be like, give me a job and I'll make your life hell and make sure your project gets done.
You know what I learned today? Jonathan Strickland is the youngest pilot to fly both an airplane and a helicopter.
That's true.
JonathanStrickland.com.
JonathanStrickland.com. I have not gone there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. Jonathan Strickland holds several records for being youngest pilot.
It's a nice site.
It is a nice site, actually.
Awesome logo.
Clearly not me.
Clearly.
Yeah.
He's got a blog.
I haven't changed ethnicity. I have not lost that many years.
You haven't moved to New York either.
I have not moved to New York.
But we could. Well, he's got sponsors already, so we can't. Apparently, we can't contact him and have Podcast Without Pretense sponsor his jet.
He's sponsored by Learjet. He's way too famous for us.
Lightspeed. We can contact
him. Wait, what? What?
What? It's true.
Jeez. Way too famous for us. Hey, don't you know who I think I am?
Oh, I know who you think you are.
That's, I mean, there was a documentary on this. I think it was called Google Me, where this guy went around meeting people with the same name. This could be a very funny bit if Jonathan Strickland met Jonathan Strickland.
So one of your resolutions should be to actually do that documentary you were talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm really, really nervous about going to the pie company and approaching them with this topic because I think it's so weird.
Why? But it's what they love, so they'd probably not think it's that weird.
Well, I don't have like cool camera equipment. I just have a camcorder and like a little wired mic, so it doesn't look professional in any which way.
Have you seen Exit Through the Gift Shop? I mean, yeah.
No, I haven't.
It's one of the better, although you can argue whether it's documentary or mockumentary. But it, you know, the camera that guy was using, at least for some of the shots, was not exactly film quality.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's something about everything being in focus that just makes it look cheap to me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, no depth of field, and you just have, like, this beautiful, crystal clear image. Unless you, like, drop down the frames to, like, 24 frames a second, it's not going to look as nice.
All you need to do is just put a little Vaseline on the lens. And then I guarantee you nothing will be in focus.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's that's the lamest excuse. I probably need more batteries, though. Also, I don't know a damn
thing. Well, thank goodness. Like, the reason why Ayaz didn't get around to making his documentary, lack of batteries.
Batteries for my... Well, they're not... Wait, hang on a second. This isn't like a pocket camcorder. Now, that'd be very funny if I was running around with a ZI-8, you know, a little...
Give you, like, a Sony flip cam or...
Yeah, you need Bloggy 3D and these talking heads. I have to get releases for this? I guess so, right?
But that's from the people that you're talking to, so I don't think it'll be that hard.
It shouldn't be that difficult. It's just very bizarre because I'm not sure where this is going to go. And I just saw a documentary on Netflix. It was called Dive. Do you guys see this one?
I don't think I've seen that.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's a new one. It's recently added. It's a 55-minute documentary, which immediately I was like, oh, okay, I can do 55 minutes. It's about people who dumpster dive for food.
Oh, you know what? I just added that to my queue.
At first I thought it was going to be like the plight of the homeless or the plight of somebody who's just hungry. It's just people who are...
Is it just freegans?
I guess... I don't know what that word means, but it sounds about right because they're hippies, pretty much, saying that all these food is being thrown out. A little too early. And I was like, well, yeah, it was an interesting piece. There was a lot of data in it. And the vehicles they used to show this, I mean, they had some really cool, you know, typeface and it was animated and everything. But, like, there was a lot of, lack of narration, just showing you a lot of data. So I was like, well, I don't want to have that. I don't think I'll have that problem for Pi.
I don't really know what data sources you'll pull in for Pi.
Well, I don't want this to be about Pi. I want to talk about the company. Although I would like to, I just don't want to be a narrator. I don't want to be a character in this. That's the thing I've noticed about these documentaries that I'm seeing on Netflix a lot. It's a lot of the filmmaker is the experiment. They are trying something different. I'm like, I don't want that. I want to show these people. But what if they're boring? Then what have I done for a week? What have I done?
Well, then you've got a learning experience under your belt.
That's all?
That, you know what? Learning is an important learning's an important part of being human, dude.
Yeah, you know, I've at some point I forgot that. You know, I actually did think about that. I'm like, you know, at some point I just stopped bothering to learn stuff, like how to pronounce names.
See, that's why my job is a great job because I'm forced to learn each week.
Did you write your SOPA piece and your Protect IP piece yet?
SOPA is written. It's turned into the editor. It hasn't gone live yet. Okay. Protect IP I'm working on this week. SOPA, I had a really good time writing that one, mainly because, I mean, you have to be objective when you're writing these things. Like I'm not supposed to put my own opinion in, but the nice thing is that even if you're being completely objective, it's so clear that SOPA just doesn't work.
Yeah.
First of all, the fact that it's easy enough to circumvent SOPA so that pirates are going to be able to pirate stuff, whether SOPA is in effect or not, proved that it's useless legislation. All it's going to do is cause lots of problems. It's not going to solve the problem it's supposed to solve. So therefore, there's no point to it.
Yeah, I've been trying. Like, I have this little document. I call it my Einstein document. It's based on that quote. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. And so if there's a topic I feel like I'm not grasping, I try to come up with a simple explanation. And if it seems too cluttered, if I'm taking too much from a source, that means I still don't get it. So I keep trying and trying and trying. And I think if you somehow manage to explain things in a tweet or maybe less than a paragraph, you kind of understand what's going on and you can further explain. But that's why I like, that's why I check out your writings, Strickland, because they're fully in depth. And you can actually figure out what the heck it's saying.
So yeah, I go into what the legislation actually says, what it's supposed to do, why it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or why it won't do what it's supposed to do, and the people who are both supporting it and opposing it, and the various political implications for all of that. And the only thing I didn't go into were alternatives to SOPA, mainly because I feel like that's a separate article.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to pitch that to the head of the writing staff, that we write a separate article about, you know, if SOPA is a bad idea, what is a good idea? And there may not even be a real good idea right now, but go ahead.
There was a good post the other day from a guy in, I believe, Denmark. Who pretty much they enacted, you know, a law similar, you know, using, you know, protect the children as the reason it got passed. And pretty much what ended up happening is that once the filters were in place, you know, the first lawsuit that went through, you know, from a content company, the judge was more or less just like, well, we already have the filters there, so we might as well just block it. you know, and like Pirate Bay, lots of things just started getting blocked that way. So there's a lot of similar laws out there to compare it to see what the aftermath is.
Yeah, and the easiest thing to point to for people, I've had some folks argue that it's really not a censorship issue. And my counter to that is, really, how long do you think it would take before WikiLeaks was one of the sites listed to be removed from domain name servers and to be cut off from financial support from the United States? It would take less than the blink of an eye, and that's a whistleblower website, and I think most people would argue a legitimate site to have available to people because it provides a service for the public good. And it's, you know, there is a point where you have to question, are we doing this to protect the corporations or are we doing this to protect the actual U.S. citizen? And under SOPA, it would be very clear that this is a site that is violating my intellectual property rights because they're putting up private documents that are not supposed to be published. Therefore, I want it all shut down. And it's a foreign site because that's also important. SOPA only covers sites that are not within the domain of the United States.
And it also bans circumvention technologies too, doesn't it? So, you know, there's a lot of posts about Tor.
There's actually not a whole lot of stuff in the language itself that covers that, but that's very extensively covered in the DMCA. And some of it probably is, like, they probably have a lot of language within SOPA that refers back to the DMCA. There are only so many times I could go back and look at, you know, there'd be a passage that would say under blah, 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 section, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you can go back and look at all that stuff, but it eventually becomes like this bottomless pit of legalese, and I had to draw the line somewhere. But there's definitely a concern that Tor would be at risk. But the fact that there are already tools in place that allow you to circumvent the measures that SOPA would put into place.
Yeah, there's already like a Chrome add-on and a Firefox add-on, I think.
yeah, the Firefox add-on happened like last week, which is funny because, you know, that was before there was even supposed to be a vote on SOPA. And all of that just proves that the legislation it's not affecting the right people. You know, it's not going to actually stop people from the United States accessing these sites because the people who are determined to access them we'll just go around the protections. I mean, there's just, you know, there's going to be sites out there that are just going to be repositories for IP addresses. So
yep.
You don't have to even know the domain name. You just, you know, go there and check. And if your IP, if the IP address doesn't work, you go and you look for another, you know, database of IP addresses just in case someone else has a more up-to-date database.
Exactly.
But yep. that sort of stuff shows that, you know, the people who are creating the laws are not the ones who understand how the internet works and or how people who use the internet work.
Right. We hit a half hour. I do have to go, guys. Sorry to cut it off, but...
Oh, that's okay. SOPA talk always makes me want to hang up the phone.
Or the you were the one who brought it up, Ayaz.
Well, I just want to know if you wrote it. I'm on vacation, gosh darn it.
I've been living that article for a week and a half, so you know, you got to cut me a little slack. It's fresh in my mind.
Protect IP has been cut. It's been given to you. It's been delivered, or it'll be there. It's in the mail. I promise.
Excellent. Now you're sending it to the new address, right? Because that's where I'm going to be.
Well, I hope you have forwarding going, but I'm assuming you do.
Yeah, I do have forwarding going.
I'll tell you what. I'll send it to your workplace.
That's the
a nice
best.
Pack
that's
of slack for you.
Sounds good.
All right.
Or you know what? If nothing else, I'll see you at CES. You can give me my slacks then.
Yes, slacks.
We're talking
wait
about
a
pants,
minute.
Right?
We've changed it now.
No, now you've gone too far. You want me to bring?
I
you
don't
a nice want pair to
put you out. I don't want to put you out of pocket, Ayaz.
Well, wait a minute. These slacks do have pockets. You are right. What else do you know about these slacks?
Nothing.
I'm going to know.
That's perfect.
It was nice speaking with you, Eric.
Yes, I will see you guys later.
Bye, Eric.
Later.
Bye. So it's just you and me.
Yeah, are we still recording?
So far.
Oh, all right.
End right now, if you'd like.
I don't care. Whatever.